Good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast. I am Tom. This is the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com, where you can find all of our podcasts. Hope everyone's having a great day. I am. Got a great start to the day. Went for a nice run. Had a nice coffee. My buddy Carlos. You know, we were running, man. We were running this summer. And then life shows up and people go on vacation and, you know, take a break. It's been hard to get going again. We were running on the beach, no shoes, in the sand, hot, sweaty. Got up this morning, it was windy. Or breezy, maybe. I should say breezy. There was no beach this morning. The fucking ocean was so angry. The waves were crashing all the way up to the dunes. So I ran the road. Didn't want to. There's so much I have in my life that's tied to exercise. Emotional. Physical. And spiritual. I mean, there is just, I've gotten into this routine of running and exercising, and it just kind of keeps, I don't know, for anybody that's getting older, like myself, you know, at 52, body ain't what it used to be, right? My digestive system, I mean, it's like, I have to watch out what I eat. I can't drink, well, I definitely can't drink, but I can't drink milk. I really just drink water and coffee. And every once in a while I might have a little bit of a Coke or something, but it's just everything. I mean, as time goes on, everything is just so, it's a spotlight on how bad it is for me. You know, cheese, God. I made some fucking nachos the other day. I mean, I must have put a pound of cheese on them bitches. Thick as thieves, that cheese. Ate it up. Couldn't get enough of it. Yesterday, suffered all day. Just like, you know, you can't eat cheese. It'd get you all bound up. Well, whatever. Nah, get you bound up. That's what running does, though, man. Running keeps my digestive system moving. When I don't run, everything slows down. I'm like, what's the future? When I can't run, what's going to happen? I feel like I'm barely holding it together with the running that I'm doing. What am I going to do, right? Ran this morning. Thank God there was a porta potty. The office. But man, I tell you what, it just sets me straight for the day.
Yeah.
First of all, Scott Sapp's got one of the fucking greatest voices. Creed got such a bad rap. They got kind of in that Pearl Jam, that deep singing genre, and just, I don't know, but man, I love that band Creed, and Scott Sapp was this, he's got a great instrument. He got affected. He caught the bug. I remember when he was in the midst of his whatever he was doing, he was delusional, you know, pleading his case. You know, they threw him out of the band because of his whatever he was doing. I don't know what he was doing. Something. I don't know what you were doing, but you were doing something. Pleading his case on YouTube, making videos, really putting it out there. Big time inconvenienced. I'm glad he kind of got it back. I think he got himself together. He's starting solo again, or I don't know what he's doing now, but just love that band. You know, I was thinking on my way here, why is it that, you know, it seems like for me, like all I do is daydream about the day that like I won't work. Like today's Tuesday, I'm off tomorrow. It's always about Wednesday. I'm off. Like the goal. Like I just want to reach a place where I don't do anything. Why is that? I'm pre-programmed like that. You know, I can't wait to retire. You know, I put such an emphasis on that, doing nothing. You know, the true guy that I am, I think, is probably a pretty lazy person for moments. You know, I want to retire. I want to quit. I don't want to work. But those are the things that kind of keep me moving. I definitely don't want to work for somebody. I talked about this the other day. I mean, how can I be upset with my job? I work for myself. I own my own spot. I answer to nobody except for, you know, like the landlord. But I pay the rent, so him and I are in they have a great relationship. You know, they kept, you know, I don't know if you have a small business or in a business, but, you know, March 15th or whatever it was, the day that we basically shut down due to COVID-19, there was no revenue coming in, obviously. And I, you know, the people that manage the property that I rent from, gave us an option. They said, listen, you can defer. Like, I don't know what the percentage was, but basically pay us half, pay us, you know, almost half. And then you can catch up later. And, you know, that's tough. That's an out, right? That's a relief. But I decided to pay the rent anyway. I paid all my rent. Now, before, you know, the horns and the trumpets start blaring because I'm so awesome, my rent isn't so bad. You know, I've been here 10 years. We've gone back and forth, hashed it out. I'm at a pretty good spot right now as far as rent goes. And I was able to pay the rent even though we weren't working. Now, before the horns and trumpets start again, my in-laws sent us some money. They helped us out a bit. My dad helped us out a bit. We had some money saved. So I don't want to seem like I was, you know, doing above and beyond what I should do, but my thinking was I'm never going to have this money again. Like, I'll never be able to pay it. Like, if I don't pay it now, I'll never catch up. So I paid it. And the guy, my connection, we've had a couple conversations just recently. Hey, we're going to need to start getting that caught up on your rent. First of all, didn't he notice how awesome I was because I paid my rent? Really, there is no second of all. First of all, you know, I want to be recognized. I mean, I didn't say that, but if I'm going to kind of get into it, between you and I want to be recognized for paying my rent when we weren't making any money. I want to feel special. And when he keeps asking me to catch up on my rent, I'm not feeling special. I'm feeling like he didn't notice at all. Now, this is silly. But this is the kind of shit that gets, for a person who's got it all figured out and worked out all the kinks and cleaned up all the cleanup he needs to do, I shouldn't have this problem. But there it is, right? And to be honest, it is no problem. But when you have minimal problems, like I feel like I do, I make a mountain out of a molehill. In my mind. You know, I say, hey, bro, I paid the rent. No big deal. Done. But in my mind, it's a speech. You know, it's a whole thing. And I talked to him the other day. I said, I've already paid my rent. And honestly, I was pretty proud of that. So I wish you'd be aware of it. I actually told him that. And I was laughing. I kind of confessed a little bit. But what's the goal in my life? What, to have no rent? You know, my wife, she works and she's in the banking business. And banking, you know, a lot of businesses are changing. You know, they're becoming automated. She was saying, you know, I'm watching my job disappear. Do you have that kind of job? I was talking to somebody else and they said that they'd taken a path that led them here, and then it became easier to stay there than put the effort in to change, to do something else. And they just found themselves kind of stuck doing what they do. It's not that happy. I think we're designed to adventure. Roam the planet, taking on chores, tasks, learning. But my wife's like, I'm watching my job disappear. And I'm like, oh, why don't you quit? Quit. You know, how much money do we need? You know, I think us and like a lot of people, we have 3 kids. We have to have insurance. So I think that's the first thing we need to figure out how to pay for, right, is insurance. But sure, we're doing a lot of podcasting. You know, we started a network for people to come and podcast. We've been working at it. You know, this is our second year of doing it. You know, maybe we could find some sponsors. Maybe we can figure out a place for people to work, to create revenue, to support other folks. I'm like, why don't you come help me? Problem is, I can't guarantee we can make any money. The problem for me, and I think for my wife, and I think for a lot of people, we need something to do. It justifies all the things that we don't do. You know, I work all day. I work some days, not maybe all day, but I work. And then when I get home, I usually cook us dinner, and then we pretty much, you know, watch TV and just relax for the rest of the night. It's a wrap. You know, we're not, you know, beating the streets after the sun goes down trying to figure out ways to create more revenue. You know, we're not filling our day completely to the rim with activities and events. At some point in the day, we just kind of wind down. But if I didn't have a job, would I do that all day? I've always said I'm not the guy that can stay home and work. I can't work from home. I just need to be on task, and I need to... I don't know what I need, but it's always about daydreaming about the day that I won't work or daydreaming about my day off. I put so much into that day. Like, this is the day that's going to save me. And then the day comes in, and it's really not a big deal. Sometimes I'm busier doing shit on my day off than I would have been if I'd have just been working. Like, all the things, the responsibilities that needs to be taken care of, they usually fall on me because, you know, my day off is in the middle of the week. You know, yesterday, I don't work on Mondays, and yesterday we podcast. We do, my buddy Carlos and I, we do a podcast called In Too Deep, and it's a Pearl Jam fan podcast. And we just have the blast doing it. We love it. And there was a guy that's been He's been following the podcast, and he reached out, and he said he loves our podcast, and we invited him to come on. So yesterday he came on. And then that was our Pro Jam podcast. And then after that, I did a podcast with a guy named Kim. He owns a restaurant in town called Miyagi's Ramen Bar. And I do a podcast called The Rehoboth Social, which is one small business helping another. Not with things that's going to help build a business, but just, a conversation with an owner or someone that's in a small business, just so that we can learn about them. The message is really what pulled you off the couch and made you take the leap of faith in trying to open your own small business. Because maybe someone's sitting on the couch right now going, gosh, I hate what I do, but I don't know what to do, and I'm too afraid to do this, and I don't know if I have the resources to do that, and I'm not sure I'm smart enough to understand how to start this. And there's a ton of people out there that would help stop what they're doing and help others to try to figure out how to open a small business or at least share their story. And that's kind of what that's about. I don't have a major in business. I'm not very good at business. So don't take any advice from me. And when I say that, my only rule in business is don't spend the business's money or steal the business's money. That's my only rule. I'm too afraid to invest the money back into the business, buying billboards, advertising, all this shit that these great business people do. I'm too scared to. So as far as like being in business, I work, I don't steal the money, and that's about it. And that's kind of worked for me. But so I did the podcast with Kim and we chatted about his place. And what I loved about Kim is that he is an owner, he's a chef, and he's passionate. And I had stopped in there for when it was my son's birthday. We decided to get ramen bowls. And I don't know anything about ramen bowls. So it was great to have him on. He explained all this stuff. Just a fun podcast. But that was number two. And then we did another podcast after that with a guy by the name of Brad. And he runs a podcast called, what the fuck's that podcast called? Another Pearl Jam podcast. And this would happen to me yesterday. I was so fried that when it came time to identifying the podcast, single podcast theory, and it's another Pearl Jam podcast, but a very popular one that I've listened to. They're very good. But we reached out to them and asked them if they wanted to come on our podcast. And so we did another podcast with this guy, Brad. Oh, my God. By the end of the day yesterday, I was fucking frazzled, man. Frazzled. I didn't do anything. Just chatting. But, man, it was too much. Three podcasts in one day was too much. When I got home, I was a little frazzled, and I was a little out of sorts. So it was great to run. But my wife and I had a conversation this morning. That's what kind of led to us thinking about, quit. Quit your job. Do we have it in us, the leap of faith? What are we setting ourselves up for if she doesn't? If she quit. And she loves her job, and she's not quitting. But we put these, we daydream and we fantasize about, quitting and working for ourselves. Is it doable? Could we survive? I say, no, I go. I go, I'll have to sell my car. We'll have to be a one-car family. I'll just have to drop you off. Or at the time, we hadn't come up with the idea of her quitting. She's like, oh, hell no. I don't know. How's everybody's sobriety? How are we doing? I was talking to somebody yesterday, and they said they had been listening to this podcast and had to quit because they enjoy drinking. And I was fucking up their drinking. Whoops. This podcast is not about quitting drinking. This podcast isn't supposed to make you quit drinking. This podcast is life after you quit drinking. And really, this podcast has nothing to do with drinking. This is about just living and managing my aggravation. You know, if you drink, good for you. I don't care. You know, there is nothing wrong with it. As long as you're of age, you know, whatever, do whatever you want. I love drinking. I love smoking cigarettes. I love doing drugs. They just didn't work for me in the end. I had to quit. I think what this podcast is really about is understanding, for me, maybe me sharing with you how what I thought I understood has now evolved into something differently, and I understand it a different way now. You know, the unmanageability. You know, when it came in, I'm like, of course, our lives have become unmanageable. Oh my God, of course, you were right. That's cut and dry, black and white, simple, right there. Life unmanageable. Of course it was. I drank, I had problems. That's life unmanageable. But when, over the years and over time, I realized that my life didn't become unmanageable until I got sober. Because I did not have a life. I existed, but I had no life. I think that happens to everybody. You know, drinking, not drinking. I was an alcoholic. I wasn't just a typical guy that just had a typical amount of alcohol and every once in a while I had a bump in the road. No, I fucking drank to get drunk every single day. And in the end, it was every single day. Now, if you're drinking to get drunk every single day, yeah, this probably is going to stink up your pot you're drinking. But if you drink a couple drinks every night and just, you know, I mean, my mom, I think, was an alcoholic. My mom drank every day. But my mom sat at a table in the back room and watched, you know, Wheel of Fortune and chatted and didn't make any trouble. I mean, who cares, right? I said this before. It's when my life became unmanageable to other people was the reason to get sober. But having put down the drink, that's when my life became unmanageable for me. But that was a decision I had to make. That was a decision that was for me. But that decision allowed me to start learning about the shit that fucking drives me crazy all day. Doesn't fix it, just recognize it. Doesn't make it go away, that's up to me. And none of that really has to do with drinking. That's all, the alcohol had already been poured down the drain by then. This is just me wanting to have a more peaceful existence. The problem is there's a lot of people out there that do things, behave in a way, drink, do drugs, whatever it is. Maybe it's sort of manageable. Maybe they kind of get away with it. But back in the back of their mind, they know that they're not happy. Because in the end, that's the person that has to be the most unhappy, right? Is us. We're the ones that finally put our foot down and say, I've had it. I'm tired of being this unhappy. I'm tired of making negotiations for drinking or using. You know, I've been the audience. And the show's great as long as the audience keeps showing up. But man, when you start to feel the audience turn, ooh, scary. Then you know that conversation's coming. I think you might drink too much. Or I think you might do this too much. Now we got an issue. I don't ever want to screw up anybody's drinking. I want to promote thinking. Not screw up your drinking. And this shit that I go through today, my shit gets fucked up sometimes, and there is no drugs and alcohol involved. This is all just me. And that's just life, man. I think that's just how it goes. Do you drink too much? Do you not drink? Are you sober? Do you want to be sober? Hang in there. I love being sober. It's sometimes boring. You know, we just came out of one of the big holidays. It used to be a big fun holiday, Labor Day. My wife and I are going to go away this weekend. It's been very busy. I'd like to try to go somewhere. We, you know, due to the COVID and stuff, we're going to go stay in a hotel in another town, hour away, just get away. That would have been a good time to drink. I was saying the other day, I didn't get sober for the first 8 drinks. I got sober because of the 9th one. That's usually the one that fucked me up. Have a great day, everybody. Tuesday. Let's catch up tomorrow. Hold on together.